morning on verses 1 to 4. Let me point you back to those for a moment. It says there, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this morning, I want to come with you to look at the first temptation of Christ. The first temptation. And that's found in those verses I just read, verses 1 to 4. Now, what I want you to notice, first of all, is that our Lord Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Can you see that in verse 1? These are very important words. He was led up by the Holy Spirit into the desert, into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. Now, those words are very important because they tell us that it was the definite, clear will of God for his Son to go into the wilderness and to be tempted by the devil. This being led by the Spirit is equivalent to saying that God the Father had commanded his Son to go into the desert to be tempted by the devil. It was the unmistakable, clear will of God for Christ, that this was his Father's will for him. And if you don't see those words, the whole thing is misunderstood. This was God's will for his Son. Now, it says that he was in the wilderness. That's another word for that is the desert. And he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And we need to remember, if you've ever had sight of the desert out there, you will know that it is a very dry and hostile place. It is hot in the day and freezing cold at night. It is tough to be in the desert. But the thing is this, there's no food there. If Christ had looked around in his hunger, all he could see were the rocks and stones on the floor. There was nothing to eat in that wilderness. And it says, the text says to us that he was hungry. He was hungry. Now, we need to understand that that hunger was appointed for him by God his Father. It was the will of God that his Son, Jesus Christ, should experience this bitter and severe hunger. He was in need of food. Okay? And by the way, some Christians like to have fasts and things. Let me say this. We are not required to copy Christ and try fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. If you do, you will die. So don't do that. That's not why this is written. Okay? It's not there for us to copy. But it is God's will for his Son. That's the first thing. This was appointed for him by God. Okay? Now, the second thing is this. The second thing I want to do is ask the question, what was the purpose of God in causing his Son to hunger? Why did God ordain and appoint that his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, should go hungry in the desert? What was the purpose of God? Now, let me say this to you. Before we come to understand the purpose of God, let me say this. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself knew very well what the purpose was. There was no fog in his mind. He knew why this hunger was appointed to him. And if you look carefully at our text, you can see what our Lord Jesus was thinking about during those 40 days. What was he thinking about during those 40 days? Well, you can see clearly his mind in verse 4. His mind was on the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because most of what he says, most of what he quotes comes from that part, that section, it's chapter 6, that section of Deuteronomy. While our Lord was in the desert, in the wilderness, suffering hunger, his mind was on Deuteronomy chapter 8. There's no question about it. In other words, what our Lord was remembering was that Israel, before him, had been led into the desert. If you know your history, some 1,500 years before about, God led his people out of Egypt, and he was taking them into the promised land, but in between he led them through the desert. And if you have your Bibles open, you can keep it open now at Deuteronomy chapter 8. You see, God led Israel of old through the desert, and he caused them to hunger. They experienced hunger. And furthermore, that was also God's will for his people at that time. So when Israel hungered in the desert, that was the will of God for his people. Now then, just remember this. We've said this before, we've seen it before, but our Lord Jesus Christ, as the beloved Son of God, as the firstborn Son, he was the head of the church, he was the King of Israel, if you like, and in many ways, his life was a repeat, or a kind of, well, I use the word recapitulating the history of his people. Okay? Do you remember in chapter 2 it says, this was to fulfill that out of Egypt I have called my son. Who is this? Well, it's Israel. But no, it's Christ. Okay? So Christ knew, not only did he know what had happened to Israel, but he understood that in certain respects his life must relive the history again. Just as they came out of Egypt, so he as a child. Just as they went into the desert and hungered, so did Christ. Go into the desert and hunger. He was repeating the history of God's people. And so it is right that our minds should go with Christ to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God explains that he has three purposes in this thing. Three reasons in this thing. In Hebrew, three times you see the word in order that. In order that. This is happening in order that. This is the result. Now then, what are the three purposes? Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. First of all, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. It was to test. It was to test. Can you see this? And remember that the Lord your God led you, notice these words, led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, listen, to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. When Israel was led into the desert, it was to test what was in their hearts. And the word test in our text is the word tempt as well. So what you have here is you have pressure. And the pressure is applied to find out the heart, if you like. And of course, Satan is using that pressure to lead, well, he led Israel, but certainly to lead Christ into another path, to lead him into the path of disobedience. This is the nature of the test. Now, it's a hard test. We shouldn't just, 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry. This was a very, very hard test. And it was testing one thing. Will my beloved son, this is the test, will my beloved son walk in the way that I have appointed for him, or will he choose another way? That's the question. Now, you and I know that our Lord Jesus Christ easily had the power to turn those stones on the floor into loaves of bread. Isn't that right? He turned the water into wine. To turn the stones into bread was quite possible, and dare I say it, quite easy for him. He had the power. But the question before him was not whether he could. The question before him is, what was my Father's will? Is it my Father's will that I exercise my power to get my food, or is it his will that I wait for him? The question before our Lord is this: will you submit to the will of your Father? Will you humble yourself? And will you continue to obey? I hope you can see the real issue before him. Will you submit to the hunger and the suffering that God has appointed for you? Or will you take a different path? I call it the do-it-yourself path. Will you take the DIY path and make those stones bread for yourself? And you see, with this is also another question is bound up with it, is do you trust your Father to feed you? Do you trust that God, who has appointed this hunger for you, in his good time will bring it to an end? Now, this is, our Lord fully understood Deuteronomy chapter 8, fully. He knew verse 2, he knew verse 3 because he quoted it. He also knew that when Israel had been put to the test, it had failed. Israel had failed. When Israel was hungry, what did it do? Well, actually, I don't want you to turn to it, but let me just pull this bit of paper out. The psalmist in Psalm 78 dwells on Israel's disobedience. And he says, do you know what Israel did in the desert? When they were hungry, they said this: is God able to lay a table in the wilderness? What's that? Do you know what that's called? That's called unbelief. Is God able to lay a table in the wilderness? And they spoke against God in their unbelief. They did not believe in God. This is Psalm 78. You can look at it another occasion. They did not believe in God, and they did not trust in his salvation. What was going on in Israel's mind? We don't believe that God will save us. We don't believe that he can save us. And so we must DIY, do it ourselves. Well, they didn't have the power to do it themselves, but they complained against God. The Bible, several times, Israel was a people that murmured against God 10 times in the wilderness. They complained bitterly that he had left them to be hungry. That is so awful, so wicked. To complain against God because he had appointed for them a hard path. But our Lord Jesus Christ did none of that. He honoured the Father. This is what he did. He said, this hunger in this desert is what God wills for me, and I will receive it. I will humble myself. I will suffer at his word, and I will obey his will for me. That's the first purpose, to test the obedience of Christ, his humility, his honouring of the Father. That's the first purpose. And I think you can understand that, can't you? Testing the Lord Jesus Christ. Will he follow in the humble way of suffering that God the Father had appointed for him? Or would he rise up and use his power and feed himself as if he had no Father? So that's the first purpose. The second purpose was that God the Father purposed to feed his Son. That was the second purpose. God proposed to feed his Son. Now you can see this if you look at Deuteronomy 8. I'll read it to you anyway. Verse 3, first of all, it says, so he humbled you, Israel, and allowed you, the word in Hebrew means caused you to hunger, and fed you with manna that you did not know and your fathers did not know. See, the purpose is not just to test, but to go on to feed. The Father intends to feed his children. And again, if you look at verse 16, I think it is, he fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know. Yes, look, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Now, bear in mind this, that our Lord Jesus Christ knew this. He knew that the end of hunger was coming. He knew that God the Father had a determination to feed his Son. And that's why in Matthew 4, the last words are so important. The great conclusion of this passage is, and angels came and ministered to him. Now, the promised outcome arrived. God has never said to his children, I'm going to let you go through the wilderness and stay there. I'm going to let you hunger till you die. That's not what he said. I'll let you hunger, but I will feed you. In the end, I will feed you. The promise came true. Now, let me say this to you. While we're on this point of God the Father feeding his children, let me tell you that when he fed Christ, the bread he gave him was better bread than stones made bread. Right? And when he fed Israel, the manna from heaven was better than any bread they ever baked on their ovens. Right? That's why he says, he fed you with manna. The word manna means what now? What's this? He said, he fed you with manna that you didn't know, your fathers didn't know. In other words, you'll never find this kind of bread on earth. You can't provide for yourself the bread that God will provide for you. You see, there are two paths in life. And there are two kinds of food. The one path is the path of following the Lord obediently and humbly. The end of that path is heavenly food. What? The other path is you do it yourself. It's the DIY path. And the end of that is the bread you can buy in Tesco's. Or another supermarket, forgive the advert. Right? Can you see the difference? Yes, you can go to work, you can earn your money, and you can go up the supermarket and buy a loaf of bread. But there's a different kind of bread that the Lord feeds his children with. This is the manna from heaven. Can't buy that in the shops. Okay? And really, this lesson is taught in verse 3 of Deuteronomy 8. Look, man, Jesus quotes, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And there, do you know what type of life he's talking about there? If you eat the bread that you can buy in the shop, you're going to die anyway. But there is the spiritual bread which a man will eat and never die. And the Lord means this. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, you will live, and you can justifiably add the words, and live forever. Okay? So anyway, the second purpose, let me not be too long, the second purpose was to feed his son. And there was a third purpose, and the devil really did not want this. The third purpose is found in Deuteronomy 8:18. You see the words there? And in order that, I'm supplying that, he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. You see, it's not just testing, it's not even just feeding, but the end goal of God is to establish or confirm his covenant with us, with Christ and with us. Christ first and with us in him. Okay? In other words, the ultimate aim of God in the Lord Jesus' life, in our life, the ultimate aim of God is to confirm or establish the Father-Son bond of love. It's more than just the Father is feeding me and I am his beloved son. There's an onward purpose, and it is to establish his covenant in Christ and with us. This is like saying that God is doing this in order to fulfill all his promises, or in order to bring about the kingdom of his son, or to bring about new heavens and a new earth. You see, the text looks way beyond the 40 days in the wilderness. Way beyond that. Now, that goal, that the ultimate goal of God was not just to send the angels to feed his son. It looked beyond that to establish his kingdom. And we'll see later that that became part of the temptations as well. But that, let me tell you, that great goal, Satan really did not want. He did not want the Son of God to obey the Father. And he certainly did not want the Father to feed his Son. And he didn't want it to go beyond that for him to receive the kingdom. So we must stop. We must stop. Let me say, first of all, our Lord Jesus Christ was and is unique. There's no one like him. And his, in this temptation, he established his perfect obedience to God. And you may realize that the temptation was repeated at Calvary. Really, exactly the same thing comes up at Calvary, where he cries in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Your will be done! Your will be done!" Great suffering, death, great deprivation, great misery. But he never was deflected from the path of disobedience, ever. There we are, finally at the cross. And the cross wasn't the end, because after the cross came the crown. After the cross came the crown. Someone somewhere has said, no cross, no crown. If you want to get through the Christian life without carrying your cross, Don't expect a crown at the end, because it is the way the Master went. Now then, I said to you just now, we can rejoice in the obedience of Christ. He did it for us. But although I said to you, we are not meant to copy his fast, yet he has set an example for us in our Christian lives. Okay? Sometimes, Christian, it is not your Heavenly Father's will to give you what you want. Sometimes it's not your Father's will to give you even what you need. Or let me put it this way. Sometimes it is not your Father's will to give you what you want or need immediately. Okay? And the question for the Christian is, how will I respond in that time when God does not give me what I want? And the way before us might be that we distrust him. We may say, well, maybe he will never give us what I need. That's not true. But the very common response of sinful Christians is to complain. We shout, kick, and scream against our Heavenly Father. We object to being deprived of what we think we should have. Many times God's people have been a complaining and therefore sinful people. More than that, the great danger is that we take matters into our own hands. And this applies in many different ways in life. And I'm loath today to give you an example of how it applies, but you may know. There will come a time, I know there will come a time in your life, when you lack what you believe you need. And you may even recognize that God has withheld this from me now. And the worst thing that you can do is take matters into your own hands. The DIY route is not the route for you. Okay? What does the psalmist say? Listen, this is what the psalmist says to you. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Listen, delight yourself also in the Lord. And what? And he shall give you the desires of your heart. The psalmist doesn't say, and he will give you the desires of your heart straight away, now. No. But he will give you the desires of your heart. Listen, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as noonday. What does he say? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. That's Psalm 37. The great message of the psalmist is, when you are hungry, when God has appointed for you one deprivation or another, wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. The Apostle Peter repeats that lesson. He says this, therefore, this is 1 Peter 5, 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And be sober, be vigilant, because you know your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. There's the two parts. You can fall into Satan's trap and be a moaner and complainer and take matters into your own hands and rage against God, cease from anger. It does no good. You can do that, which is what the devil wants you to do. Or you can quietly submit to the will of God and wait patiently for him. In the long run, in the end, your Father proposes to feed you. In the end, your Heavenly Father intends to give you the kingdom with Christ. Okay? You have no reason to have any doubts about him. But he does appoint for his son and for us and Israel the time when we pass through that time of testing. Seek first. What does Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek that. All these things will be added to you. You don't need to worry about the rest. Food, clothing, houses, jobs. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen.